Welcome to Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. It's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time weekly, exclusively on TrendBetting.com. It's an interactive show. We're going to take callers and live tweets. We're talking NCAA basketball right through the tournament. Super Bowl Sunday is on the horizon. We just finished up a fantastic college football bowl season and championship round. Vegas lines, huge movement, bad beats. This is what this show is about. Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition exclusively on TrendBetting.com. It's Guy Sports Talk Radio, NCAA, NFL, fantasy football, taking your calls, recapping what's going on, gambling tips. This is what we are about. Why is that line movement? Public versus Vegas. TrendBetting.com has your exclusive winners right online. Check us out. Long Shots Radio, Primetime Edition, Donnie Wrightside, Thursdays, 8 p.m., TrendBetting.com. Folks, don't you miss that. Don't you miss that opening. It's football season. It's Saturday morning. But it's Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Again, on for another great show this week. Let's recap that Super Bowl to see how it all went down. A lot of TVs out there, I know. A lot of them probably got sent over the woods, or excuse me, into the woods, into the river. Smashed with your fist, smashed with your head, or smashed with a sledgehammer, or in some other instances, popping the champagne bottle because you couldn't believe what you saw and you already expected to lose that game and ended up with a gift winner. That Super Bowl is going to be something that we're going to talk about for a long, long time. We're going to go over some key plays and stats in that game, which helped turn the tide in the Patriots' favor. But when it all turned out, when it was all said and done, folks, Seattle was the right play. Come on. Up 10 in the fourth quarter. Had the football. Three straight three and outs. The world crumbles down. And just when you thought you were going to lose after Brady connects on that final touchdown, here comes your main curse. Here come the Seattle Seahawks. We're 36 inches away. We're going to cash this. We're going to end the year up large. And kaboom. All tumbles down to the ground. But as I said, we'll get into that a little bit later. Again, welcome to the show, folks. Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Welcome to the show. It's Guy Sports Talk Radio. As you heard on the bumper there, NCAA, NFL, that's what I do best. An award-winning Major League Baseball handicap, and that's going to come up down the line. But it is college basketball season, and we're going to dedicate a good portion of the show to taking a look at what's ahead in college basketball and taking you inside the mindset of Donnie Wrightside and what we look at in college basketball season, maybe give a little bit of tips and maybe some pointers to maybe add to your repertoire when picking games. But this is about TrendBetting.com. This is TrendBetting.com. Lucky Lance Williams put together a great site and a team that I'm happy to be a part of. Been with the site for over one full year, and will continue to be a partner with Lucky Lance Williams for many, many years to come. It is a fantastic site. I always tell customers, clients, friends, hey, man, look, just go to the website and check it out. Very simple. Experts tab in the top right-hand corner. A lot of information on the front page, but we're all there. All our handicapping expertise is laid out just on one page there. Most packages going for $250 a month. You can't beat that, folks. We're going to build that bankroll. We're going to build it the right way. We're going to have a lot of fun doing it. Not just going to put you on games just to have action. There's actually some expertise behind these picks, and we're going to share a little bit with you of what we actually look for in those games. Now, CJ the Razor's on the website as well. Sharp guy, Alex the AK-47. Guy's branching off in many different fashions. Real, real sharp guy. You see him a lot with the daily fantasy stuff and writing blogs. I know today I saw a great article there with one of my favorite teams, the UMass Minutemen in Small-time college football, very good. Gene Siffrin, great tight end on that team. They had a dominant wide receiver as well. And Frenapfel, the quarterback, is definitely going to be somebody to be reckoned with next year. And Mark Whipple can put together some offenses. So read Alex's stuff. It's really, really good information. Puts away a lot of food for thought. And definitely that's going to be somebody you want to stay on Twitter with. He's going to give you a lot of information in the off season about getting some interviews and getting the mindset of some teams that you might not be able to read about or see about on SportsCenter or ESPN. A lot of that small-time knowledge there is definitely something that you're going to want to check out. Also on the website, MMAJ, one of the first and foremost, the best handicappers in the business with mixed martial arts. Seen it firsthand time and time again, watched fights with the guy, went to fights with the guy in Atlantic City. He knows his stuff. Very, very good guy. Get to know him as well. Travis Terry's new on the scene there, but is lighting it up. Saw a couple pictures today online. It must have been envelope day for my man Travis. 100 spread out all across the table. Boy, it's nice when that happens there. Really isn't. Should have had that in the Super Bowl, but we're not going to be picking up envelopes this week because of that game. Jeff Brandes, one of the best handicappers out there with horse racing. Get his packages ASAP. Again, I say it each week there for us. The Triple Crown is coming up. No better person to put on your team than Jeff. He's going to put you in the right position there, give you winners. Again, if I'm not saying this until I've seen it firsthand, in the middle of the day when I'm getting horse picks from Jeff Brandes and they're cashing in while I'm not even paying attention to the race, there's nothing that beats that. Jeff, what do you got? Hey, Aqueduct, third race today. Take the four horse. Bang, winner. Oh, well, just check your account. It's going to fill up. Jeff's one of the best in the business at doing that. The Saffinator and Frank Buzz also on the site, as well as myself, Donnie Wrightside. Go to trendbetting.com, click on the experts tab, we're all right there. Pick out the price that you would like, packages cheap and affordable, whatever you got, NCAA, basketball, NHL hockey, NBA basketball, mixed martial arts, and again, of course, coming up into the summertime baseball season, you're not going to want to miss out on those packages whatsoever. Very, very good stuff here happening. RightsideValuePlays.com, you know, is my website there. Redesigning it there to make it more interactive so we can get those YouTube videos back out there, keep publishing them each day, as well as some other live looks and blog updates, all in partnership with Lucky Lance Williams at TrendBetting.com. So let's get everything started and underway for us. Let's get in here and take a look at the Super Bowl, folks. All right, wagering on the game. Do we all wager on the game? Of course we wagered on the game. Prop bets, first half, first quarter, second half, money line, whatever you name it, teasing the game, overs, unders, everybody was out there. We did put our clients on the Seattle Seahawks plus one. We felt damn good about putting our clients on the Seattle Seahawks plus one. But in the end, it just didn't work out. Tom Brady was fantastic in that game. The first half was completely dominated by the New England Patriots. Key interception by Lane in the end zone, ending one of those first drives where New England really worked the football and got down the field and should have been up 7-0. But that interception proved costly for the Patriots and also for the Seattle Seahawks because Lane was out the rest of the game, and that brought in a backup cornerback, which in turn was their sixth cornerback, and they picked on him pretty good for the remainder of that football game. But Brady threw for 328 yards and four touchdowns. He did end up with two interceptions. One of those interceptions to a linebacker, I think it was Wagner, ended up getting that one interception from Gronkowski early in the third quarter there. But Brady was sensational. I mean, if you want to take a look at some of those numbers, third down efficiency, New England was 8 of 14 on third down against one of the best football teams in the country. Now, it's kind of interesting when you actually look back. You knew Seattle was a little bit banged up, but you didn't really know how banged up they were. Turns out today, Earl Thomas, I believe, had the torn labrum as well as the separated shoulder. Cam Chancellor, remember we were talking about that injury, which they said was no big deal. He was fine. He walked off the field, but he had a partially torn MCL on that last play of practice on Friday before the Super Bowl there. So, I mean, they were coming in as a banged-up squad. Cliff Avril got knocked out of the game with a concussion, and that proved costly in the second half when Seattle just wasn't able to get the pressure that they were normally accustomed to in that football game. So, again, it all gets back to Tom Brady, 8-14 on third down. If you remember in the third quarter, even before taking a look at some of the overall scoring there, down 10 points, early in the fourth quarter, Tom Brady was sacked on first down to make it 2nd and 18. Two plays later, they converted that drive on a nice pass over the middle, Julian Edelman, which on that play, I believe it was about a 14-yard play, but Cam Chancellor helmeted the guy at midfield, and looked like he was out on his feet, spun off it, which he was down, but obviously, you know, on a bang-bang play, you're going to get up and run. But the key ingredient there was Julian Edelman with his sales technique. Yeah, sales technique. He was out on his feet and was somehow able to convince not only the referees, but not only the trainers and his team that it was his leg that was hurting and not his head. Julian Edelman 100% had a concussion and was knocked loopy on that play and somehow wasn't taken off the field at all. And he turned out to be my MVP because if he's not on the field after that play, the Patriots don't win that football game. I know Amendola ended up scoring on that touchdown drive, but the last one was to Edelman by the time he got all his faculties back and got the cobweb shaken loose. But my MVP for risking his life and limb in that game, 100% it was Julian Edelman. The guy was out cold on his feet and somehow got around concussion protocol in the biggest game of the year where everybody's looking at. And you saw at the end of the play that he got hit on when he was getting up, he could barely even stand up and get to his feet and played it off as, oh, no, my hip hurts. And, of course, New England's going to look the other way and say, hey, leave him alone. Guy's hip hurts. And, of course, after the game, 6 hours later, said, oh, he passed concussion protocol in the game. Yeah, sure he did. Nobody believes that. Marshawn Lynch for the Seattle Seahawks, very game in that. 24 carries for 102 yards. We had him down for 125 yards the previous week before, so we did come up a little bit short on that. But nevertheless, he averaged close to 5 yards per carry and was an animal, just like we had figured on him being in that game. Now, the game, of course, everybody's going to look at the second half. 14-14, great game. Last 2 minutes of that half were exciting. Gronk caught a touchdown, and then the hardball Chris Matthews there, not CSNBC, but actual Chris Matthews, the football player, actually had a really, really good football game and came up big, came up and had over 100 yards in that football game and scored that touchdown right before the half to make it 14. Coming out into the second half there, put together a nice drive, and I thought one of the plays of the game was New England stopped Marshawn Lynch in the red zone there. I think it was 3rd and 2 to force a field goal to make it 17-14. Tom Brady was then picked off shortly afterwards, and they cashed in with a Doug Baldwin 3-yard touchdown to go up 24-14, but it was all Tom Brady in that fourth quarter. I mean, he was sensational. Every time they had a third down, they converted it. I mean, he was just stepping up in the pocket, throwing darts. Like you knew he would, but in that game, I just didn't think it, you know, Seattle's secondary was as banged up as they actually were. The short passing game was killing the Seattle Seahawks once Lane came out of that game. But in the end, it was 24-14, last drive of the game, throw the football up, Kurse makes a ridiculous catch, you're under a minute inside the 5, you give the ball to Marshawn Lynch, he gets down to the 36-inch line to make it 2nd down, you're going to throw a pass for an interception? I mean, come on. I mean, you're looking at the game. You're up 10 in the fourth quarter. You should win it anyway. But by God's graces, you're still back in it. You're going to punch that in. New England, for some odd reason, is not calling timeouts when Marshawn Lynch runs it down to the 1-yard line. And you're saying, my God, Marshawn's going to get the ball the very next play, walk into the end zone. There's going to be 18 seconds or whatever's on the clock. Yeah, I mean, Tom Brady would have 2 timeouts, but come on. He's going to be on his own 20 with 18 seconds to go. Ball's in your court. And by the way, if they get down and get a field goal, it's only a tie to push overtime anyway, and wouldn't it give them the outright win? So, I mean, you have to play the percentages there, Pete. Don't give me, we wanted to make it 3 plays, and we wanted everything to work out perfectly. And, you know, if we got stopped, you know, we only had 1 timeout, so we didn't want to cost ourselves the additional down. Pete, run the ball 2 times. If Marshawn Lynch gets stopped twice, from that yard line there, I mean, come on. You just hand it and say, hey, you know what? New England, you're the better football team today. You know, I can't even mess with you. Take the title, go home. And nobody would have had any problem if Marshawn Lynch got the ball 2 times from inside the 1 and got stuffed. I didn't think that was going to happen, and it wasn't going to happen. The very next play, if they would have given him a run-pass option with Russell Wilson, he pulls the ball out on read option, walks into the end zone, or if he just hands it off to Marshawn Lynch, he barrels in for the touchdown. Seattle wins, my clients win, everybody's happy, but it just didn't turn out the same, and that's the way the NFL season went down. A lot of interesting things to look forward in the offseason. Russell Wilson's going to average $20 million a year as opposed to $600,000 starting next year, so how will that impact Maxwell's contract up there if they want to keep that Legion of Boom secondary altogether. A lot of coaching changes inside the NFL and a lot of turmoil. How much money is Dez Bryant going to get from Dallas? Can they sign both Mary and Dez Bryant? That's going to be something to keep an eye on as well. But a lot of things going on in the NFL. It's going to be fun to watch it over the offseason with the NFL draft and the combine just around the corner. So, I mean, football is always in the back of our mind. It's what we do. It's what we love. I'm so unhappy that we lost that way with Seattle. You know, sometimes you'd rather just take a beating where, you know, New England would have won the game by 14 or 21 to say, hey, you know what, that was just a bad cap, I missed it. But when you're counting money and the money is in your pocket, you like to bring it home and certainly end the year, because you can't get that taste out of your mouth, you know, the very next week or the very next day, because football season's over. It doesn't start back up, and we're not gambling in August on NFLX or anything like that. I mean, we're going to wait till the regular season, get our numbers back together. It's just a shame it had to go down that way. But overall, fantastic game. I mean, you really can't say too much about that. So, I mean, it was a nice way to end the season. We really wish we would have cashed in for our customers and also our clientele. But was it meant to be? And now it's college basketball season. We're going to pay some bills. We're going to be back in about a minute here. So hold the line, folks. We're going to go over some college basketball information. Going to be a lot of fun, folks. Hey, folks, Donnie Wrightside from Long Shots Radio. Struggling with your picks out there? Filling your bankroll up? A little bit of a struggle for you? Put the experts at TrendBetting.com to work for you. Go to TrendBetting.com. It's a full-service site. Click on the experts tabs. Everything is there for what you need to build that bankroll the right way. NCAA basketball and football, National Football League, NBA, NHL, MMA, mixed martial arts. We have every single thing that you need. Once again, folks, go to TrendBetting.com. Click on the experts tabs. Lucky Lance Williams, CJ the Razor, Alex the AK-47, MMAJ, Travis Terry, Jeff Brandeis, Frank Buzz, and the Saffinator, along with myself, Donnie Wrightside, experts in the industry. Put them to work for you. TrendBetting.com. Click on the experts tabs. You can get in for as cheap as $249 a month. Specials going on all the time. Once again, folks, TrendBetting.com for all your needs in the business. Trust me, Donnie Wrightside, when I say we're going to put you on the right side at TrendBetting.com. Folks, welcome back there. Hey, you heard that. Once again, folks, TrendBetting.com. Click on the experts tab. Get there right away. Buy those picks and packages there. Let's fill up that money for the weekend. Let's get right into the college basketball season. It's been a lot of fun so far. This past week, we got stung on Friday night going 3-0 and then losing the last game of the night on a 75-foot buzzer beater for no apparent reason in the Monmouth-Fairfield game. And we did catch a couple bad beats there on Saturday, but the worst beat of all was on Sunday. So, hey, can't complain about that. We're going to get our fair share of those, but it was just a shame the way it all went overall with the bad beat there, which seemed like it started a little of an avalanche on Friday night. But let's take a look at overall basketball season. Kentucky, obviously the best team in the country, if you ask me. I mean, two platoon, if they're going to stop, Patino's going to stop doing that. It doesn't matter. They're the most talented team in the country. If they play well, stay out of foul trouble, and keep healthy, I don't see really any team that's going to be able to mess with them come tournament time. One of my favorite teams, though, and, I mean, obviously anymore, you can't call this team a dark horse. I mean, they're as good as it gets. ACC Power Virginia. I love the way that starting five plays together. Tony Bennett, the crooner, as the head coach. I was always a big fan when he was out at Washington State with the level and style of play that they have, focusing on very good offense, making good choices, hitting your open looks, and ball movement primarily there with beating man-to-man. They could shoot over zones all day long, but also their defense, very, very smart kids there, obviously going to Virginia. That's a team that you're going to want to keep your eye on coming down the stretch as well. Gonzaga's always, I mean, they're ranked third in the country, but Gonzaga's Gonzaga. They're going to make a run. They'll get to the Sweet 16. They might have an opportunity to upset somebody, get to the Elite Eight, but usually they run into one of those teams that's just too physical for them. Like, I mean, if they matched up with a Kentucky or somebody like that, it's going to give them real problems, or in Arizona, somebody with that length and wingspan that can just, you know, get involved, because they're a very good team. Every single year they're a very good team, but they're sort of that Boise State effect up there where they dominate their own conference, but once they see teams with equal or better firepower, they do tend to struggle, and that's only right there. Wisconsin's a good basketball team. Duke is, I think, maybe a year away, but when you say a year away in college basketball, a lot of these kids are one and done, so I don't really know how far Duke's going to go, because Okafor definitely is going to jump ship. Louisville's always sneaking around the chicken coop. Villanova, my hometown team right there, one of the big fives out of Philadelphia. Villanova is a very good team. They just smashed Marquette at the Wells Fargo Center last night by close to 20 points, covering that. I believe it was 15.5 or 16.5 when that game went off last night. Rounding at the bottom 10 there is Arizona, Kansas, and Utah. So definitely some interesting stuff to look at. And you know I love Wichita State sneaking around there right around 14, even though that Northern Iowa did give them all they could handle and busted them up over the weekend. But Wichita is going to make a run. Their senior guards, they're laden. You know, the coach has been there, done that. Those players have been there, done that. You know, they're a mid-major type team coming out of the Missouri Valley Conference. But make no mistake about it, that team is ready to play and hang around there. Now, also with that Notre Dame, West Virginia, Providence, Oklahoma, I mean, good basketball teams. But overall, I mean, they're going to be able to maybe make some noise, maybe get on a run in the tournament. If we take a look at standings itself, again, you know me. I tend to look at the smaller type conferences there. Atlantic 10 standings, Virginia Commonwealth, VCU is always up there. Dayton's a really good team, and God, they're tough to beat there in their little gym out there in Dayton, Ohio. Rhode Island, a very good home team as well. George Washington, UMass, Richmond, Davidson, St. Bonaventure, LaSalle, St. Joseph's. Good basketball in that type of league. Everybody knows the ACC with the Virginias, the Notre Dames, the Louisvilles, the Carolinas, the Dukes. I don't know how good that the ACC actually is. I know Notre Dame is playing some good ball. I think Virginia by far is the class of that division. Even Miami, you know, sneaks up and bites some people. But as tournament time comes there for us, I don't really look to see them so much make a run. But I do think Virginia has the capability to get into the Final Four. The way they play basketball, the smarts, and again, the ball movement and playing defense, that always goes the distance there and certainly has a big impact. Love the Big East, Villanova, Providence, Butler, Georgetown. It's a little bit soft, but Villanova by far is the cream of the crop. Big 12 standings there. Of course, you're going to look to the big guns there with Kansas, and I always like the way West Virginia and Iowa State play, pressing teams full court, picking up man-to-man, and really forcing the issue there. Big 10, Wisconsin, obviously they are the best of the bunch. Maryland having a very good year. Purdue as well, a little bit out of the limelight for me, but they are at 7-3 in the conference and 15-8 overall. Taking a look at the CAA conference, William & Mary, which we have a play on them tonight. I believe they're actually losing now after they were had a nice solid lead in the first half, so hopefully they can turn that around. Hofstra, JMU, Drexel, another local team there, coached by Buster Flint. Conference USA, one of my favorite leagues, Louisiana Tech, Western Kentucky, UAB, Old Dominion, UTEP, Florida International. Love watching those type teams. They give you everything they have each and every night as well. Horizon League standings, Valparaiso last night, which we caught a terrible beat. We had to cover 9.5 in that game last night versus Detroit. Had the lead at 10 twice with under a minute to go. The final dagger came with 5 seconds to go. Meaningless uncontested jumper got knocked down, which gave it an 8-point win for Valpo, which obviously was not what we were looking for since we had to cover the 9.5, but it happens. But again, very nice conference there. Wisconsin Green Bay, you know us. We bet that team all the time. Very solid on defense as well. The MAC conference, hey, you guys know what that's all about there. Buffalo, Bowling Green, Akron, Toledo, CMU, and WMU are by far the best teams in that conference. Loaded. The Mid-American in the Eastern Conference, everybody's 6-3 in that division. So you have four teams at 6-3. If you flip it over to the West, 6-3, 5-4, 5-4 for Western and Central Michigan, along with Toledo, who's actually leading those stats at 6-3. Missouri Valley, we bet that a lot. Northern Iowa, Wichita State, Illinois State, Indiana State. And, of course, there sitting at the bottom is Bradley, who had a nice cover and gave the Shockers quite a shock last night with what they were about to do. I mean, that was a one-point game with, what, 3 or 4 seconds to go. Ended up, I believe, winning the game overall by 3, but definitely very interesting. Georgia Southern and Georgia State battling tonight, two top teams in the Sun Belt. UL Monroe, the Warhawks, UT Arlington, UL Lafayette. It's a really good conference if you want to watch up-tempo basketball. Ryan Harrow, one of the best players in the country, is in that league, and I believe he's averaging well over 20 points per game in that division. But let's take a look tonight for us, folks. We're going to get into the last couple minutes of the show on what Donnie Wrightside looks at when you're capping games. Now, just an overall opinion for myself, I don't like to see or hear anybody else's opinions, much like everybody else out there, when you're looking at a game. I want to cap my games efficiently. I don't want to have any bias in a game, and I want to get the complete rundown with a clear head, which also means I don't like to take a look at who the betting public is going with the percentages. I don't care who's play or who you're on. I don't even want to see, like, you know, is the public loading up on one side or the other, or is that line moving yet? I actually like to cap the games before I even look at the overall lines. Also, one of the biggest indicators that I like to look at is injuries, because in college basketball, obviously you don't have the depth or the, you know, professionalism of what the NBA players would have. where if your shooting guard's going to sit out, that guy can just step right in behind him and fill the bucket up for, you know, 25 points on any given night, because that's professionals and what they do. Just taking a look at last night, Jimmy Hall and Austin Ritchie in the Kent State Western Michigan game. Now, we actually lost that game in a nail biter at the end. We were waiting all day long for Austin Ritchie news. I even contacted a beat writer in Western Michigan just to see if he was going to play. They said it would be a game time decision, so I was holding off until game time, but late word broke that Jimmy Hall, Kent State's leading scorer and rebounder, was going to be out for the game with the flu at around 6:15 Eastern Standard Time. So we went ahead and pushed the detonate button to get in on that game right away, and the line went from 3.5 to 5, and we felt comfortable with taking it at 5. Because I just thought the overall value was going to be there, whether or not Austin Ritchie played or not. But if Austin Ritchie did play, that would have been a nice bonus bump in that game. But he ended up, you know, coming out for, I believe he came out for warm-ups, but ended up in street clothes and didn't play in the game, obviously, at all. But it turned out that jumping the gun in that situation on an injury when we weren't even looking for the other one cost us money. Now, it does happen. I still would go with the play again if I was asked, because if you're just out, you know, first game without your best player and you're on the road, you're probably going to take a loss, which they did. Just didn't expect them to play that well, because it's one thing when you lose your leading scorer. It's another thing when you lose your leading scorer and rebounder. Another thing that I like to take a look at is home and away. If you can't play on the road, I can't back you unless you're getting 13, 14, or 15 points. Now, you've seen in the past where we've taken Marist quite a few times on the road, but they're getting 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 points. They even went outright over the weekend getting 12.5. I believe it was Siena. It was either Siena or Canisius. I can't remember exactly who it was, but we took them getting 12, and they won outright. But that's a little bit different, because this is a team that for most of the season, three-quarters of the season, they didn't have their backcourt together, and Siobhan Lewis was the only guy filling up the buckets at 25 the game, but he had nothing else around them. So Khalid Hart came back. Truog came back at center, and also the guard, I can't remember, it's escaping me. It's TJ is the first name there. I apologize for not getting his last name there. But all three of those guys actually came back, and they're actually playing some good basketball right now. Now, taking a look as well, capping, when you take a look, I like to take a look at the home splits in the game. And what I mean by that is I don't really care your overall shooting. I don't care your overall scoring and, you know, free throw shooting or what it is. I need to take a look at how well you fill it up at home and how well you fill it up on the road, because there's some teams out there that when you take a look at, they can shoot, you know, 39, 40% at home, but you get them on the road, they're down to 36 and 37%. You can't really trust that, because, you know, you're going to be playing on the road, you better be able to shoot the lights out or stay with it, because you're probably going to be an underdog on those nights. The one games that I do like to pick out, there was one tonight with Wisconsin-Milwaukee and Wisconsin-Green Bay. One of the key indicators is, even not looking at spreads, is how well those teams are going to shoot against a certain defense. And if it serves me correct, Wisconsin-Green Bay shoots 48% at home themselves, and Wisconsin-Milwaukee as a road defender gives up over 51%. That's going to be lighting the lamp. So if they get 50 shots off, they're going to at least hit 25. Not counting, you know, maybe three-pointers and obviously foul shots rolled in there. But that's a team that every other possession up the floor is going to score a bucket. That's really, really hard to deal with when it all comes down the line there for us. But again, we always like to take a look at the home and away, as well as shooting percentage, and can you handle in-conference play versus out-of-conference play. This is the reason why this season right now is in the sweet spot, because everybody's matched up pretty much talent-wise, and you have an even set of stats that you can look at when going over the capping. Now, after I get done everything, I take a look at the spreads, and again, I'm not laying double digits on the road. You'll never catch us doing that, but we will take a dog that is getting over 10 on the road, just because, you know, if they're going to stack up, or they can shoot, or they can hang around, or maybe they're just catching fire, they can stay with that. So, I mean, that's a little bit of an insight of handicapping of what I look at. And again, folks, this is trendbetting.com, so we do want you to check out the website. Click on the experts tab real quick, easy and affordable. It's a great website. There's a lot of video content on there. And as I said, I'm going to be putting up much, much more videos over the near future. Catch me on Twitter at RightsideVP. Any questions on a game or just want to go over something, hit me up on DM. I'm also on Facebook as well. RightsideValuePlays.com, my personal site, affiliated with TrendBetting.com, the home site right there. We have everything you need. Price is cheap and affordable. Love doing the show, talking to everybody on Thursday night. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll see you next week. Hey, folks, this is Donnie Wrightside, host of Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition on TrendBetting.com. Have you ever wondered how to get access to my information on plays? I am excited.